Ladies and gentlemen, you are not going to believe what the Connecticut General Assembly members and some random New Englanders, those are people who live in New England, you're not going to believe what they thought about 1780. Good morning, Martin Zender here on a new series within the Revelation series, the final years of Millennium 6. Listen to this, Connecticut General Assembly members and various New Englanders. The sky turning dark during the day. This is the day. This is May 19th, 1780. They thought that this was the end of the world, and they announced it. This is why. The sky turning dark during the day was interpreted as a sign of the end times. Well, actually, no. The primary cause of the event is believed to have been a combination of smoke from forest fires, a thick fog, and cloud cover. Well, miscalculations happen. Here comes a bunch of smoke. Must be the end times. May 19th, 1780. It's all over. Whoops. Well, come to find out, it's the smoke, which they must have thought it was divine smoke. You know, kind of like the smoke that came from the sacrifices in Israel or something. Actually, it was a combination of smoke from a forest fire, a thick fog, and cloud cover. That was a near miss, 1780. Well, here's a politician, Nathaniel Brassey Halhed, predicted November 19th, 1795. Why? Well, he was campaigning for his for the release of, apparently, some kind of political prisoner, Richard Brothers, and during this campaign proclaimed that the world would end on this day. I don't have the details there, and I would be afraid to obtain them. Christopher Love, in 1805, he's a Presbyterian minister, predicted the destruction of the world by earthquake in 1805, followed by an age of everlasting peace when God would be known by all. You see, followed by a time of everlasting peace when God would be known by all. This is the desire of the human heart, and I honor it. And so these poor people, I don't despise any of them. I sympathize with them. They just want this crap to be over. They might have used different words than me. They want to see Christ. This much more noble words here. When God would be known by all, followed by an age in which God would be known by all. Of course, even these theologians have this dim idea of what the end times would actually look like, what the kingdom would actually look like. They just have a very dim idea of that. They don't understand the Aeonian times. And as I said yesterday, I've been talking to you about the Aeonian times, but now I'm specifically going to be talking to you about Aeon 3. Aeon 3 consists of 6,000 years, 6 millennia. Aeon 3, 6 millennia. I have to insert a correction in here, ladies and gentlemen, which is easy for me to admit. I do make mistakes. It's easy for me to admit my mistakes because they happen so infrequently. But it's the 6,000 years is eons 2 and 3 because we're dating the 6,000 years from the time of Adam. Adam came at the dawn of eon 2 following the disruption of the world, which was eon 1. Eon 3 was the eon that began when Noah walked out of the ark. So the 6,000 years is the time from Adam, and that entails two eons, namely eons 2 and 3, not just eon 3. I don't know how many years eon 1. Eon 1, I remind you, those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, this current thing we find ourselves in, this trouble, this problem, this crisis, this is an eon. There are 5 eons in God's plan of the eons. God has a measured plan, the joy of knowing this, and it is a scriptural thing. Go back to my shows, look for the word eon in some of the early shows from the bunker in Brazil. It's nice to know that God does certain things at certain times. I have been an announcer of this for a long time. God is orderly. You think the world's in chaos. You think that things happen haphazardly, and it seems like it. It looks like it, but no. In the big picture, God is progressing. This is the beauty of knowing this. God is progressing in an orderly way. The eons are symmetrical. We are living in the current wicked eon. The current wickety on, if you're watching the laundry cam, being, I'm still in the laundry, look, there's the washer and dryer back there, I'm just in a new position here, and I'm blocking the washer and dryer, but there they are, washer underneath, dryer above. This is the central eon. We are in the central eon. There were two eons before us, and there are two eons after us. And the cross of Christ came in the center of eon three. It's a beautiful thing, really. The cross of Christ is the central. Oh, no, it's the central portion of all the eons. Yes. And it's the centerpiece, the most magnificent thing that happened in eon three, even though it was the most terrible thing that happened in eon three, the worst evil ever. The crucifixion of the Son of God. So we are living in symmetrical time. See, we're just so bogged down in the details of everyday life, we get lost in our own calendar, in our own AD system, and we completely lose the forest for the trees. Hard to blame us. You know, we're just so involved in the minutiae, and we get bogged down. I do too. We get tangled in it, and we forget that there is a large calendar. God's calendar has five squares. Yeah, ours has 30 squares, not God's. Five squares. That's it. Much easier to keep track of. I wonder how God can keep track of everything. Well, his calendar only has five squares. Eons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And in eon 3, we're only looking at six squares within eon 3, and this is the sixth millennium. 6,000 years. So back to these lousy predictions. I'll give you a couple modern ones. Then I'm going to give you the man who got it right, but missed it by 1,000 miles. He got it right, but he missed it by 1,000 miles. I'm going to explain that mysterious statement to you. All these years, 1836, John Wesley. John Wesley? Wow. Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, foresaw the millennium beginning this year. That is 1836. He wrote that Revelation 12:14 referred to the years 1058 to 1836, when Christ should come, quote. What did he base this on? Honestly. I can't even guess. Of course, we talked about the Millerites on Monday. The Millerites set a date, April 28th. I, Martin Zender, will not set a date. I will set a season and a year. This is broad knowledge. It's exact enough. It's exciting enough, I think. And I think Christ wants us to know the seasons and then the year. Israel is based on days, weeks, and years. No one knows the hour. No one knows the hour. I'm not getting that specific with you. But times and seasons. Jesus said to look, to watch. When you see the sun doing certain things, when you notice the fig in its different seasons of its life, the crops in Israel were for times and seasons, the first fruit, the latter fruit. All these things were not God showing off his knowledge of details. It is so Israel would know the coming of the promised one. And it was prophesied by Daniel, his first coming, was it not? Daniel gave a time frame. Sure, he doesn't come right on the page, Daniel, and say that the Messiah will come on the feast of the Passover 3 BC by your Roman calendar. No, he doesn't say that. It'd be nice. Be nice if Scripture says, when you see Barack Obama be president, and when you see Donald Trump, during the Trump presidency, Jesus is going to return. Oh, wouldn't that be simple? But everybody would know it. Do you understand? Now, this will help you not get so frustrated at why God is so tricky. Why doesn't he just say it plainly? Why all the riddles? Why the math problems? Why do you have to add the years of Adam's descendants? Why do we have to know the time of the rule of the kings of Israel and Judah? It's so that it's not just lying on the surface. Who puts their treasures on the surface? No, you don't. You take your treasures and you hide them. But you tell your friends where these things are, right? You reveal your most intimate secrets and your most hidden treasures to your friends. And your friends want to know. So your friends are the ones you invite over to your house. They're the ones who you tell, make yourselves at home. And when people tell me to make myself at home, I actually do it. I will open your refrigerator and see what you have in there. I'll open your cupboard in the morning to see if you have any raisins. I will try to find out where the coffee filters are. I'll look because I take you at your word and because we're intimates. So same with Jesus Christ. He invites Israel to look and watch, but you have to be interested in it. You have to want to know. And for those who aren't, it's there. It's there. You can miss it two different ways. You can miss it either by getting so lost in the details that you miss a simple plan, or you miss it because you just don't look carefully enough to even find this. The simple plan is one level below the surface. You're not even interested enough in that. Or you think that there is no time or season. Well, that's just another way of saying you're just not interested. So you can be either not interested enough or too interested. So interested that you think that there's some esoteric knowledge here and only the wise can find it. Well, in a way, it's esoteric, but in a way, it's for the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid who see a simple pattern at the outstepping, at the original statements of Scripture. Now, I told you I was going to give you the name of a theologian. I didn't say it was a theologian who got it right, and though he was off by a mile. And let's see. Here he is. Pierre Dailly, who's he? Well, around the year 1400, this French theologian, and I looked this guy up on Wikipedia, he had a pretty good pedigree. He was critical of the Pope. Somehow he died a natural death. Don't know how those two things happened at the same time. He was a science man. He was a math guy as well. So he enjoyed numbers, and he seemed to be a rather logical man outside of theology. Of course, once he entered the church, he hung his logic on a hook at the door and was bought into the whole Catholic system and all its malarkey. But around the year 1400, this French theologian, Pierre Dailly, wrote that 6,845 years of human history had already passed. This is where he's on the right track. He is the only guy on this entire list of 171 predictions who is trying to figure out how many years have passed F.A. What year are we F.A. from Adam? He is right on. That is what needs to happen. He just had the number wrong. Around the year 1400, the French theologian Pierre Dailly wrote that 6,845 years of human history had already passed, and the end of the world would be in the 7,000th year. Wow. And the end of the world, there's a problem with that phrase, but I like it in a way, would be in the 7,000th year. There's a problem with that phrase, but I like that in a big way. Allow me to explain. These theologians see the end of the world as some, I don't know, they don't see it as a end of one world going into another world, which will go into another world, which will consummate the eons. So I'll give this Pierre Dailly the benefit of the doubt and say that he saw that a cosmos, Greek word for world, and an eon would end. Eons and cosmos correspond. Remember that lesson back then? We have eons of time, and in each eon is a period of time. There's a system that obtains during that period of time. He said it would be in the 7,000th year. Actually, the end of the world would be at the end of the 6th millennium, that is the 6,000 years, and the kingdom would begin at the dawn of the 700th year. He's right, but his calculations led him to the date of, are you ready for this? 1555. So he was wrong, obviously. But his system was right. He thought he was in the year 6845 F.A. He was not in the year 6845 F.A. And whether it's because he had poor translations of Scripture, whether it's because he bought into some of the rabbis' calculations of the times from Adam, I don't know. It's not my business to find out why his math was wrong. it's my business to know that of all these 171 predictions, this is the only guy that says, I wonder how many years we are from Adam. But he knew this, and this is a fact, that the kingdom comes at the dawn of the seventh millennium.